we're coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help you God. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that things are going well for you and your family in your neck of the woods. We have a wonderful program for you today. Today is the day that we focus in on our Sunday school. Yes, it's time. It's time. It's time again to study our Sunday school lesson. So go get your Bible and go get your Sunday school book and study along with us this morning as we are studying our Sunday school lesson. This morning, our lesson is going to be taken out of St. John chapter 4. And our lesson is entitled, Call to Testify. Call to Testify. And we'll be looking today at the story about the woman at the well. John chapter 4, beginning with verse number 25, is the text. And it reads like this. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he come, he would tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speaking unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he taught with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Verse number 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, has any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. But both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true. One soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereupon ye bestow no labor. Other men's labor, and ye enter into their labor. Verse 39. And many of the Samaritan of the city believed on him, for the saying of the woman which testified. He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own words, and said unto the woman, Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Now take this word and use it to bring honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Today, our lesson is called to testify. Called to testify. And so we have come now to the last month of this particular quarter. This is the winter quarter. We had December, January, and February. And so now we are here at the last month. And we're looking today at call to testify. And this is us as Christians. We are called to testify. Just like this woman at the well ended up being a witness for the Lord. We too are called to testify. Now, the background to our story is dealing with a long history of racism. As a matter of fact, I have broken this lesson up into three parts. The first part is the witness of the Samaritan woman. Then I look at the opportunity for witness. And then third, the fruit of the Samaritan woman's witness. And so let's look first at the witness of the Samaritan woman. Now, when you look at the witness of this Samaritan woman, we got to understand the background of our lesson. We got a 700-year history of a background of racial history. The Jews and the Gentiles. Are the Jews and the Samaritans, because they weren't all the way Gentiles. The Samaritans was, they was half-breed. They was mixed Jews. When they went into captivity, when the 10 northern tribes went into captivity by Assyria in 722 B.C., Syrians, the Gentile, came in there and they cohabited with the Jewish women's and what have you. And so their kids and stuff was called half-breed. They was looked upon as not full-blooded Jews. And Jews hated anybody that was not full-blooded Jews. And so particularly these Samaritans, and because I mean that would be like, you know, going to bed with your enemy, and that's what the Samaritans ended up happening when they was overtaken by the Assyrians. And so we see that you got a 700-year history of a race problem. Now, we think that we got a race problem here in America, but our race problem in America, you can only go back to about 1619, something like that, and that's only 400 years. So we got a 400-year race problem. And see, America didn't really become a nation until 1776, so some people say we only got a 240-some-year history. But whether you see it as a 200-and-some-year history or whether you see it as a 400-year history, we still don't have the race problem like they had. The Jews and Samaritans, they had a 700-year racial history. Now, How could something go on like that for 700 years? Well, I believe that the reason it could go on like that is because they love their culture rather than they love their God. Yeah, that's the problem. See, these Sumerians, they had gotten satisfied with being Sumerians. They love their culture. They love being Sumerians. And the Jews, they love their culture. They love being Jews. And as a result, the Jews didn't accept the Sumerians. The Sumerians didn't accept their Jews. The Jews. You know, and I see the same problem today. Why is it that we, if you say that we've been white and black folks, we done had a race problem for 400 years. Why is it that we got a race problem for 400 years? Or if you say it's 247 years, why is it that we got a race problem for 247 years? I tell you why. It's because we like our culture rather than we love our Christ. Yeah, yeah. We know just like the Jews and the Sumerians, they both had the Old Testament law. So they knew that the Bible taught love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself. They knew that the Bible taught that, but they didn't do it. Why? Because they love their culture rather than they love their God. In the same way, we love our culture. White people love their whiteness. Black people love their blackness. We put our blackness over our relationship with God. Yeah, we know what the Bible says. The Bible says, love your enemies. It says, bless them that curse you. It says, pray for them that despitefully use you. But we don't want to do it. Why? Because we want to be accepted by our culture. You know, it was just like when I was a little boy. When I was a little boy, if you hung out with white people, then black people would look down on you. Yeah. Your own race would look down on you. Sometimes they would call you Oreos. Sometimes they would call you an Uncle Tom. They say, you ain't nothing but an Uncle Tom. You know, I don't trust you because you hang out with white people. You ain't nothing but an Uncle Tom. And we still got the same thing going on today. White people, if they try to hang out with black people, they call them what? The N-word. They say that they ain't nothing but an N-lover. Is that right? They call them an N-word. Yeah. Yeah, they say you ain't nothing but an N-lover. You know what I'm talking about when I say using the N-word. And so, rather than being called an N-lover, white people, they just hang on out with their white culture. Black people, rather than being called an Uncle Tom, they just hang on out with black people because we want to be accepted by man, particularly our own race, more than we want to be accepted by God. Yeah, yeah. And so that's the problem. But what I like about Jesus in this text, Jesus didn't follow his culture. Matter of fact, Jesus was anti-culture. That's what this story is all about. It was about anti-culture. When you look here at verse number 4 of John chapter 4, the text says, and he must go through Samaria. So Jesus says, I must go through Samaria. In Jesus' day, you didn't go through Samaria. Even though coming from Galilee down to Jerusalem, it was a straight line. You could go straight through Samaria and get right on to Jerusalem. But if you went around, that was like a day a journey going out the way for a whole day, or may even take 2 days to go out the way. But if you just went straight through Samaria, then you'll get there a lot quicker. But the average Jew would not go through Samaria because he know he wasn't welcome in Samaria. And so rather than going through that town that hated them, they just go around. But not Jesus. Jesus says, I must go through Samaria. Why did Jesus say that? I believe because Jesus had an appointment with this lady at the well. Yeah, I believe that he had an appointment with this lady at the well. And you can see that Jesus is going totally against his culture, talking to this woman at the well, particularly by him being a rabbi. Think about it. Now, Jesus is a rabbi. Now, a rabbi is the most respectable man in the community. And a rabbi would not be caught talking to a woman in public. Yeah. And particularly a woman that had a questionable lifestyle. He sure wouldn't be talking to a woman with questionable lifestyle. And but notice Jesus here is talking to this woman in public, and this lady, she sure enough got a questionable lifestyle. Why is that? Because see, it's at the noon of the day. No, ladies, whenever they came to the well, they came there in groups. If you saw a lady going there to the well by herself, then that lets you know that that lady got a questionable lifestyle. The other ladies don't even want to hang out with her because they don't want to mess up their reputation. So this lady must have had a real bad reputation. But Jesus is talking to a woman that got a real bad reputation. And so Jesus is going against his culture by talking to this lady. And he witnessed to her, and the Bible says that she, when the disciples showed up, the lady dropped her water pot and she went on to the city, and she says, come see a man which told me all that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? She dropped her water pot. Now, you think about it. She done went way out there to get that water in the middle of the day. Once she got that water, rather than bringing that water on back with her, she dropped her water. She left it. What that shows is that she was willing to leave an old lifestyle for a new life with Jesus Christ. In other words, at first she thought that the physical water was important, but now that she done talked with Jesus and Jesus done witnessed to this woman, now this lady see that a relationship with God is more important than that physical water. And Jesus had offered her the spiritual water. And so she had gotten the spiritual water. And that spiritual water was a lot more important than physical water. And so the woman ran to the city and said, come see a man. Why did she go to the men's? Because that's who she knew. She had relationships with those men's. And so she witnessed to the men's. Think about it. God used a woman to bring men's there to Christ. You know, that's what I did. A lot of times people say, Pastor, how did you start Bible Way? What me and my wife did, my wife and I, we used to make some flyers. And we used to make some newsletters. And I got a lot of the women's addresses. I got a mailing list. I went to a company, and the man told me that we can fix it where you can target, you can have a target audience. Who's going to be your target audience? You can target the men's, you can target the women's. Who going to be your target audience? And I said, let's target the women's, because I want to have a family church. And women's, most of the time, even if they're single, they may have some children. And we want our church to be a family church. And so we targeted the young women's. And the man would send these newsletters out for us. And we would send thousands of them. Sister Wibben and I, we would stay up late at night making these newsletters and putting, the man would make these labels. And then we would have to put these labels on the newsletters. And then we would take them to the post office. And then we would mail out thousands of newsletters. And the man would ask, what zip code do you want? And we would tell him, 75061, 75062, 75038. And we would mail out newsletters. And that's how we was able to grow our church. And those ladies, when they would receive the newsletters, a lot of times they didn't come right then, but eventually they would come. And then because they enjoyed the church, then they would go back and get their husbands, or they would go back and get their boyfriends and things like that. And so we work through the women's to get the men's. And that's what Jesus did. He worked through this lady in order to get the men's. Now notice the opportunity for witnessing. By the disciples. Jesus tells them in verse 31 through 35. Now, what I like about this, where Jesus says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said to them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, has any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus said to them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Keep in mind, they was going through Samaria, and Jesus sent them on ahead to go get some food. And he waited at the well. And you can see now why he sent them on an errand. See, a lot of times when you witnessing, there are certain people that you need to let them go on about their business. Because if not, they're going to run off the person you're trying to witness to. See, if these 12 disciples would have been there at that well, 9 times out of 10, that would have been an intimidating thing. When that lady saw all those 13 men at the well, she wouldn't have went on up there to that well. No, she wouldn't have went. She would have been too scared to sin. I mean, that's just like if you was getting ready to go into a store and all you saw on the outside of that store was a Ku Klux Klan. You saw 13 Ku Klux Klan people. 9 times out of 10, you're going to say, no, I'm going to go to another store and get me some gas. I ain't no stop there. I mean, they got the Klan standing right there at the door. I ain't no mess with them. I'm going to go on and get me some gas. And so you have to send other people out your life if you're going to witness to people. So Jesus had sent them to town. But when they got back, they offered Jesus some food. But Jesus says, I don't want nothing to eat. Now, how is that? Why did Jesus not want nothing to eat? It's because once you witness to people, a lot of times you be so full with the Spirit of God that your whole focus is not on the physical. Your focus is on the spiritual. It has happened to me several times. A lot of time I can be so hungry down at the church or something, and I said, man, let me get on up from here and go get me something to eat. But then the telephone rang and I talked to somebody on the telephone, and after I done talked to them on the telephone and witnessing to them and what have you, it just looked like I ain't hungry no more. And rather than going and getting something to eat, a lot of time I just wait until I get home and get me something to eat. It happens over and over and over again. A lot of time on Sunday evening, right after church, I'd be so hungry, I'm ready to go get something to eat, but then a person make mention about somebody is in the hospital, so I tell my wife, come on, let's run there to the hospital. We go there to the hospital, and we visit the person. We have such a good time witnessing to that person there in the hospital, that when we leave the hospital, a lot of time we still go get something to eat, but we ain't never as hungry as we once was, and we end up throwing away more food than we really ate, particularly if we go to Golden Corral. And so Jesus tells the disciples, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me. But he lets them know, hey, man, look at this mission field. Look at this mission field. That this Samaritan, this town ain't nothing but a mission field. And it's ready for the picking. It's ready for the picking. You know, America today is a mission field. You know, America used to be a country where we used to send missionaries all over the world to witness to all these countries to, you know, missionary would share the gospel. But today, America is such a lost country. I mean, you got so many lost people right here in America, particularly foreigners, that America is a mission field. Missionaries now are coming from other countries, coming to America to witness to folks in America, to get Americans saved today. And so most people, they look at our problems as, you know, man, we got a race problem and all of that. Well, what it is, it ain't so much a race problem as it is a sin problem. It ain't so much a skin problem as it is a sin problem. We gotta win people to Jesus Christ. That's what we gotta do. We gotta win people to Jesus Christ rather than getting into our blackness and getting into our whiteness. What that is tribalism. We gotta get out of this tribalism, and we gotta get back to the Bible, and we gotta do like Jesus said, lift up our eyes, because the fields are white. I mean, it's ready for the picking. And then the last thing you see here in the text, you see the fruit of the Samaritan woman's witness, beginning with verse number 39. It talks about, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman. So they first believed because of what the woman said. But then, look, keep on reading. It says, so verse 40. So when the Samaritan was came unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he adored there 2 days. Now think about it. Jesus was a Jew, but they asked a Jew to stay with us. They got so into his Bible study, they got so into Jesus witnessing, rather than telling Jesus, now Jesus, you can't come on into the city, you better go on. They said, come on in here. Matter of fact, stay with us. He stayed with them 2 more days, and the Bible says, and many more believed because of his words. Verse 42 says, and said, unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. So they move from the Samaritan witness, and now they had a personal witness with Jesus Christ. They had a personal relationship with Jesus. And that's how it ought to work, ladies and gentlemen. We ought to be bringing people to Christ. They need, number one, to come to Christ based on what we done said. But then they need to hear Jesus' word for themselves. Yeah, yeah. They need to move from just a witness and then having a personal relationship. Yeah, it's nothing like having your own personal relationship with the Lord. All right. Well, that's our lesson, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so kindly for joining us. Remember now to sign on for church on Sunday and make sure that you sign on for Sunday school. All right, that's it for today. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.